Page 93. Listening practice 4. Youth hostels. Then and now. You are going to listen to a radio program about youth hostels. Listen and choose the correct answers.
Good morning and welcome to Faraway Places. Today we'll be speaking with Sophie Williston, author of A Hostel Environment. Sophie has stayed in many different youth hostels and she's become an expert on the hosteling experience. Sophie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, James.
Sophie, could you explain what a youth hostel is? Some of our listeners may not have stayed in one.
A youth hostel offers a low-cost place to stay for the night. You rent a bed, usually a bunk bed, and you might share your room with other people. Since the lounge and kitchen areas are shared, there are lots of opportunities to meet other travellers.
Sounds like a great choice for backpackers and other young people travelling on the cheap.
It is. In fact, the whole backpacker movement started because these hostels existed.
Sophie, I was surprised to learn that the idea of youth hostels is over 100 years old.
Yes, that's right, James. It all started back in 1909 with a German schoolteacher named Richard Sherman. He believed in teaching children about nature, so he decided to take his students on an 8-day hike in the country. Mostly, they slept in farm buildings, but one night the group couldn't find anywhere to stay and ended up in the village school. That night, Sherman began thinking about the need for accommodation for school groups.
How did he make his dream into reality?
At first, he used his own schoolhouse as a youth hostel. A few years later, in 1912, he created the first permanent youth hostel in a 12th century castle.
I understand that Sherman insisted that the hostel guests clean up after themselves.
Yes, he believed that tidying up made you a better person. That's why, until about 20 years ago, hostel guests were expected to do some chores, sometimes even cleaning the toilet.
That certainly doesn't sound like having a good holiday.
Well, youth hostels had many other rules as well. During certain times of the day, guests were locked out of the hostel. That way, you would have to go out and enjoy the outdoors. The reception had limited hours in order to cut down costs, so you couldn't check into the hostel any time you wanted.
Well, hosteling is quite different today, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Guests might still have to wash their own dishes, but generally, conditions have changed. Many people are no longer willing to share a shower with others or use a bathroom that is outside their room. Nowadays, a hostel might have amenities like private rooms, air conditioning, television, free Wi-Fi, a restaurant, a pool, or even a bar.
If you ask me, sounds more like a hotel.
I suppose that's true in some ways. But it's different from a hotel because there's more of a sense of community. It's a great way to meet people and hear about their travel experiences.
What are some of the most interesting hostels you've been to?
One of my favourites is a hostel in Lugano, Italy. It's located in a 19th century villa on a hilltop, and it has a fantastic view of the city. In Stockholm, you can actually stay on a boat. It's fun if you like the feeling of rocking on the waves. And closer to home, there's an eco-friendly hostel in North Yorkshire. The walls are stuffed with sheep's wool, and rainwater is used to flush the toilets.
Definitely worth a visit. We'll have to end our programme in just a moment. Sophie, do you have any last words of advice for travellers?
Yes, if you can, make your travel arrangements ahead of time. Some hostels are booked well in advance. It's possible to book rooms online for many hostels.
Thanks for that helpful tip. We'll be back next week with another edition of Faraway Places.